declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, preparing the way of the Lord. Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call. Lift your voice in the ear of Jubilee, out of Zion's hills, salvation of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are white in the birds in your finger, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call. So lift your voice in the year of Jubilee, out of Zion's hills, salvation comes. Behold,
soil, will government enslave you? the greatness that was once your crown be trampled in the streets. Oh, America, don't let your name go down in such defeat. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the America. Once God's word was your standard, how gradually you've compromised, how far you finally wandered. For the years of silent apathy, to God we now repent. For the years of work we might have done, that's already now been spent. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson. This land needs Jesus now. If he's confined within the church, its walls will crumble down. We must awake, we must arise, for his kingdom to secure. We know the battle has been won, yes, the victory is sure. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Now don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. And see the lesson to be learned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. You better just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. You better just open up your eyes and see the lesson.
Christmas Eve in a laundromat with a soaking bag of clothes. Heaven knows I'll ever dry these tears. Or wash away the memories that tug remaining threads and hang upon my stained and fallen years. So I wander down the road, take a cool breath of air, and meet this night on its silent terms. A haunting frost of what's been lost keeps swirling round my head, beginning to dissolve what it confirms. And the radio keeps playing all those sentimental songs that carol to machinery and me. Along the hum of tumble drive, another cycle turns and churns the past with future yet to be. It's Christmas Eve in a laundromat with a soaking bag of clothes. I don't know if I'll ever dry these tears or wash away the memories that tug remaining threads and hang upon my stained and fallen ears. Holy nights were bleaching bright on darkness as a rose, as if I'd ever get you from my clothes. You told me that it's all now changed. I doubt the white of snow could cover up the stains we never show. And the radio keeps playing all those sentimental songs of carol, machinery, and me. Along the hum of tumble drive, another cycle turns, churns the past with the future yet to be. Christmas Eve in a laundromat, with a soaking bag of clothes. I just don't know I'll ever dry these tears or wash away the memories that tug remaining threads and hang upon my stained and fallen years. And I dropped a quarter in the sky. It sprinkled down for free, wash away where your traces. Left on me, though you once hung me out, dry and shifting winds of doubt. Finally know where I don't, where I don't want to be. On Christmas Eve in a laundromat, if someone really hears, I think it's time to finally dry these tears and wash the sin from off my skin that tugs remaining threads, lingers on my stained and fallen ears. Yes, wash the sins from off our skins, tug remaining threads, linger on our stained and fallen ears.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design broadcast for the 20th day of March, year 2022. I am your host, Pastor Dan. The agenda for today's broadcast is Happy New Year and It is time to get serious. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yah or Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. Let's note that I did not say Yiddish, which is the fake Hebrew today. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cymru and Byth. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and again, that's pastordan.net. And thank you, Ella, for that report. And again, that's the website. If you're not getting emails through, or you're looking for the news items, etc., you can go to the Daily Mail page there, and you can find the latest information as far as what we think is current events, etc. Also, the Listen Live page that is there will tell you about the ways that you can listen to the program live, or you can go to the archive page and later listen at your leisure, whenever you wish to. Also, when you go to the archive page, those links allow you to listen online, but they also give you the option to download the program, which is an MP3 file. And so, because a lot of people, I shouldn't say a lot of people, but there are some folks out there that like to store the broadcasts or share them with other people. So, you know, that is one way you can do it. Especially when there are times that we're not sure how long the internet's going to be up, or that they'll try to censor it or whatever. So that's a very convenient way to do that. Now, the files themselves run anywhere from 30 megabyte to 60, 70 megabyte, depending on the length of the program. So if you do send them or do share them, you either have to put them up in a large file transfer program like JumpShare, or you have to upload them to the cloud in your own sort of storage area, and then send people just the link to that file. There's a lot of ways of doing it. Again, if you contact me, I can discuss them with you. The main thing is that people get the information and people get the edification that they need, or as the programs now have some music, a lot of people like to record that music. And that's a good thing to do. If you have a editing program such as Audacity, which is free and open source, you can go in there and cut out the audio sections of the broadcast where the music is and save it as a separate file. Again, that may be a bit too techie for some folks, but those of you that use that kind of software, you know what I'm talking about. On the homepage of PastorDan.net, we do have the information there for how you can help us out if you feel so led to do so financially. And for those folks that do, we say praise Yahweh for you and bless your hearts. These are definitely trying times. And again, why we said Happy New Year, because as of today, which is the spring equinox. Now, we don't spend a lot of time talking about the calendar because, personally, you can find everything from lunar only, solar owner only, to loony solar, they call it, like World's Last Chance website, which combines the solar and the lunar, okay? And again, I've read many books claiming to have figured this all out, and yet they don't agree with each other. And personally, it doesn't agree with what I observe either. And my contention on the calendar issue is, if it mattered to our being right with our Father, then it would be much more clear. I think we get caught up in the nuances of calendar and scripture and all that, and we end up stabbing each other on the back when the Father wants us to come together as a family. Much as Messiah, when he walked this earth, he didn't carry any kind of textbooks, references, presentation material, etc. First of all, he lived his life as an example. Okay? He lived it. So all you had to do is be around him, and everything about him, his mannerisms, his dress, what he spoke about, what was important to him, what his priorities were, those all exemplified our Heavenly Father. So just being around him in day-to-day activities, as the disciples were, that came across. Okay, so we spend a lot of time playing church today. We have these ornate cathedrals, or we even in the Protestant world sometimes, we get into these like the Crystal Cathedral, and Dr. D. James Kennedy here in Florida, he had the Coral Ridge Ministries, beautiful, beautiful church. Okay, we get caught up in the symbolism and the ritualism of worship. When our Father, when he walked this earth as Yeshua, he didn't get into any of that, did he? Somebody point out in Scripture or in any of the writings of antiquity where he went into some kind of ornate building in order to talk to the people. He didn't. He went out amongst them where they lived, where they worked. That's what we're supposed to do. We don't confine it into the walls of some ornate building somewhere and get all wrapped up in the ritual side of things. That's not what it's all about. This is a relationship, folks. A relationship. And it should impact us 24 hours a day. You live it. You don't pretend for a few hours a week and think that that's going to get it done. I hate to tell you, but no. So, also with the area of the calendar, again, it's because, to me, the solar makes sense in the fact that it's pretty easy without modern software and things such as that, technical devices to tell what day of the year it is. I've seen it demonstrated where you can put two sticks in the ground and you can tell when the equinox. That's it. I don't remember the details of that, but according to the shadows cast by the two sticks, when they reach a certain point, you can tell that it is the equinox. Once that's been determined, and that was usually done by the Levites, who were in charge of that kind of thing, then they would put the word out that the new year had started, and then you start going every 7 days from that point. So that's why it was always the seventh day or the 15th day of the month. They didn't have days of the week. That's a Roman thing. So the whole argument about the Sabbath or the day of rest being a certain day of the week is a moot point because they didn't even have those until the days of the Romans came along. It was always the days of the month because it starts whenever the sun decides to tell you it's time to start. And that also, remember, is what starts off the agricultural side of things as far as the planting and all that sort of thing. So again, we don't get caught up on the issues of calendar as much as a lot of people want to do it because it's not relevant today to be that exact. Father gives us enough information to get along with our days and to do it right, but we're not supposed to sit around and beat each other up over those kind of issues today. Just like the Sabbath itself, it means to rest. It doesn't mean to stay in bed or lay on a couch all day. It means to stop doing what you do to make a living. Okay, when it says do no work, and of course the Jews who are the imposters, they take it even to the extreme. You can't do anything, even clean a house or open a door or some ludicrous thing like that. It means don't do what you do to make a living. If you're a carpenter, you don't build houses. You don't put in built-in furniture on your day of rest. It doesn't mean you can't get up and help somebody build a house. It doesn't mean you can't help the neighbor with his car. It doesn't mean you can't mow the yard. It just means you don't do what you do to make a living. It makes sense, doesn't it? Years ago, I worked in a job where we were forced to work 7 days a week. One of them was the United States Air Force during Vietnam. The other was the electrical power industry when we were building new nuclear power plants. We often worked 7 days a week, 10 to 12 hours a day, sometimes 14 hours a day. I got to witness what it did to me and what it did to the other workers. Without that at least 1 day in seven to rest the body, we had mental breakdowns, we had fist fights in the shop, we had irritability, we had a 95% divorce rate. And I'm not exaggerating. 95% divorce rate in the military I was in, at the base I was at, and in the shop of the power plant. Almost nobody was still married 4 years later to the same person they were 4 years ago. That's what working 7 days a week will do to you. So you see the appropriateness of what our Father puts there for us. He said, I make these rules and I gave you the Sabbath for you. I don't need it. Isn't that what he said? I don't need it. Of course not. He's the Father. He's the Creator. He can do whatever he pleases. He said, I've given the Sabbath to you for your benefit. And it's also not to be used as a weapon against each other. Okay, we've got some verses here I want to read, and we're going to talk about the seriousness of the times. Psalm 46, verse 1, Yahweh God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That's the King James Version. And then in Ezekiel 33:13, yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed that transgress without a cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Again, Psalm 25, 3 and 4. But a cross-reference to Ezekiel 33, verse 13. Then we can go to Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3. Yahweh God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not be afraid. Though the earth changes, though the mountains are shaken into the heart of the seas, though its waters roar and are troubled, though the mountains tremble with their swelling, Selah. That was an expounding of the first reading of 46:1. Basically, again, why is everybody afraid today? Not a day goes by that I'm not on the phone or in communication of some sort with people that the anxiety levels today are off the charts. Okay, why is that? Well, first of all, I think technology that's in the hands of the enemy is being used against us. That's certainly part of it. Another part of it is this ongoing nonsense, turmoil caused by a falsified pandemic. There is no pandemic. There never was one. It's all a word game, wordsmithing, word sorcery by the enemy. And their desire is that you're in a constant state of fear. Okay? You should understand this. It's psychology, which is what the enemy, the communist Zionist Jew, is a very good implementer of. After all, Sigmund Freud, a Jew, was the inventor of psychology and psychiatry. He invented it. It's a pseudoscience. There is no science to it. It is what they want you to believe is a science, and it's all it is what the adversary was given power of, which is the ability to deceive us using sorcery or word magic. They have no power over you and I, folks. None. Go read the book of Job again. They have no power over us physically, but they do have the permission of our Father to deceive us. That's why the motto of the Israeli Mossad is, by deception thou shalt make war. By deception thou shalt make war. Why? Because they're terrible soldiers. They can't win a war. They can't win a war against you and me even, let alone an organized, well-trained military. If it wasn't for the backing of the United States, the Jews of It's a Lie would have been destroyed a long time ago, even by the Arabs. Even though people don't give them credit as soldiers and warriors, they could have defeated Israel easily if it wasn't for the United States. They're terrible soldiers. So they've got to get you to do the dying for them. They've got you have to do the killing of yourself for them. By deception, they make war. And all of the fear that we've got today is by deception. The media lies to us about every single thing they talk about. Your mainstream televised programming come across that Talmud vision. You call it a television. I call it Talmud vision because that's what it is. It spews out the lies and deceptions based on the Talmud, which is their holy book. And it's full of all kinds of perversions, which now you see across the images created by the beast. And our people worship the images controlled by the beast, exactly as the book says that our people would do. And as Ella has pointed out, the abomination within the temple of God that is spoken of by the prophets is the abomination of the teachings of these Talmudic antichrists dwelling within the temple of God, which is you and me, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody's looking for a, quote, third temple and a temple on the temple is you and me. It says so in Scripture. The Holy Ghost resides in the temple. What happens if the Holy Ghost, if the righteous spirit of our Father does not reside in you, the temple? What takes its place? The unholy. The unholy. The unrighteous. The abominable. The people who do perverse things, much as this antichrist Zionist controlled world government is doing. You're putting poisons in your body. They call them vaccines, but they're not. You're putting images of the beast, pornography, and other grotesque things such as homosexuality and transhumanism and transgenderism. You're putting them through your eyes, into your soul, into your temple. You're allowing these images into your temple when the scripture says, be weary and be careful of what enters your ears and your eyes. They affect you. Case in point, the fear, the anxiety, the timidity that's going around right now. Why? Because people are scared to death. All by deception. All by deception. Ella says here, the black box of lies and getting blacker by the day. Yes, black. Black, dark. And remember, Scripture often uses light and darkness as representations of Yahweh's knowledge, Yahweh's wisdom, Yahweh's purity. We were told by the prophets in ancient writings that there would be a great war at the end of the earth age between the children of light and the children of darkness. It's in the Dead Sea Scrolls. A great war. What do you think we're in right now? That's why I said it's time to get serious. This is a war, literally a war, and a lot of people aren't even aware of it. They're ignorant of what's going on. It's funny that I notice the people that are not all that upset, I mean, they're concerned, of course, but they're not quaking in their boots, so to speak, with fear and timidity, are the people well-grounded in Yahweh and Yahweh's truths. Those who walk according to his statutes and commandments don't have the same fears that everybody else has. It's also called in Scripture a lack of faith. We talked about the old saying last program that everything you've ever wanted, ladies and gentlemen, is on the other side of fear. Everything that you've wanted is on the other side of fear. You can't move when you're paralyzed with fear. False evidence appearing real. F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. So the children of light, meaning the children who have wisdom and understanding, who conduct their life day to day in the purity of his statutes and commandments, basically living a righteous life, doing their human best to live according to his laws, and teach it to others, by the way. They do not live in the darkness that the rest of the world is in. Darkness in Scripture represents an absence of our Father and his teachings. Absence. Most of the people you see walking around live outside of his laws, statutes, and commandments. Most of them live in a make-believe world created by our Jewish propagandists through the media. For instance, they got you all to be afraid and to put a poison in your body because of your fear of an unseen element called a virus, which is already dead, by the way. So how do you kill a virus? Right there it should tell you something. How do you kill something that's already dead? I remember as a boy in the 1950s and 60s, in school, when they talked about viruses, they mentioned the fact that these are dead materials. But they had some magical way how this piece of dead material could infect your body. It was quite astounding. Talk about word magic. Okay, a little bit like the Catholic Church and the use of Latin and word magic. They could always tell you how the mysteries worked by just coming up with some story they pulled out of their ass. Well, the same thing in the medical realm and in the schools with viruses and whatnot. Then we come to find out when there's honesty that a virus is just debris from your cells. When your cells cleanse themselves, the virus material is the debris that's extruded from the cell itself and put into the elimination system. Lies and deceptions. So based on this lie, we go running around and put diapers on our face and hinder the ability to breathe properly. And all of the toxins the body's trying to push out of our body through the lungs gets trapped and sucked right back into the body. Does that sound very healthy to you? I remember in my work, there were times we had to put on Scott Air Packs, which is a type of portable respirator, to provide oxygen because we were going into the reactor building or some like a chlorinator for the water treatment plant. And let me tell you, I had a respirator on one day and the fitting around my cheek came loose and I got just a very, very tiny dose of chlorine gas in my face mask. It nearly knocked me out. And that was just a tiny little amount of this chlorine gas into my face mask, almost knocked me the breath out of me completely. Can you imagine if I had no mask whatsoever? It would have killed me outright. The point of it is that putting that mask on, providing me oxygen, allowed me to go into the room and work on the chlorinator without dying. But it was not very long before you become claustrophobic and you need to get that mask off. And yet they've got you wearing a mask almost 24 hours a day. I've seen some people wearing them, doing things that it's completely ridiculous why they have it on. It's almost like people are taking the mask to be a source of comfort. They've actually conditioned our people to think that that mask somehow is providing them protection and they get comfort, even though it's actually physically harming them. Our bodies weren't designed to be putting anything over our airways. Ask nurses that you know, if they're honest, or even doctors, how do they do it in the hospital? They wear it briefly, going into a room with a very, very sick patient. They do that mostly as a courtesy. And to make sure there's no bodily fluids like spit or if you cough up something or whatever, it won't get into the room or on the patient. It's just a sanitary measure. They put it on, they come in, they do something with the patient in the bedroom, and they take it off immediately and put it in the hazardous waste container because it has the things that their body was expelling on the inside, and it has any kind of germs that were in the room on the outside. So it's put into the hazardous waste. What do you do with them here? You throw them on the ground. We don't do anything properly today. And yet we live in this state of fear over germs, and yet we live in an ocean of germs every day of our lives. There's nothing you can do about it. Not a single thing you can do about it. That's why Dr. Bekamp and many other doctors all through history have written extensively about the fact that it's the terrain, your body, the temple that matters. Not the germs. The temple, your body. If you take care of the temple, you keep it clean and you preserve it properly, you don't have to worry about the germs. Whether you want to talk about medical or spiritual, you live in a world full of contamination. Satan's kids, the Jews, have created a hell on earth. It's like the germs that surround our bodies. Yahweh's law carried in your hearts that you live, and your faith in Him and each other carries you in through this contaminated world so that it does not overcome you. Yes, it's hard to see. I can't believe anybody watches television anymore. It's sick and demented. Everything about it is antichrist. Everything about Hollywood is antichrist. Everything from the mainstream media is antichrist. And yet people still watch it. Still put their faith in it. Still allow the contamination to come into the temple, their body, through their eyes and their ears. You consume beverages and foods that are contaminated. Again, putting the unholy where only the holy should go, in your temple. Again, contaminating that which was supposed to be guarded by us. And we're doing it day in and day out. It's quite disgusting. I want to read something that was sent to me by our good friend Gertchen Ziegler up in Canada. And Gertchen has been a true warrior, and we've been email friends for quite some time, and I've spoken to him on a couple occasions, but he is doing a great work for Yahweh's people in this day and age, and he sent an email out today. We are in a hot war now. Millions of us are being murdered by the minions of the enemy. An alien infestation of soulless, hive-minded chameleons. The lines are drawn. Peace, love, and goodwill are not values the enemy cherishes or understands. Hence, that is not the way to reach the, quote, final solution we've been preparing for over the last 3,000 years. I hope that my videos will help people realize it's time for more extreme prejudice to be effected against the forces of darkness traipsing about in borrowed human bodies and swinging chickens over their heads to absolve themselves of the corrupting slime that envelops their miserable existence. Hail victory, Gertchen. There are many other posts by other believers, identity believers out there, that I read constantly saying the same thing. Everybody can sense the fact that we're coming to a fruition, to a closing of this earth age. That is why it's more important than ever that we draw upon the Scripture and the Holy Spirit in our day-to-day lives, and we hang on to that strength that we have in each other and in our Father, because He is in charge. Don't ever forget that. Our Father is in charge. And He can use the wicked. For instance, in this Ukrainian nonsense that's going on, the media, the same media that lied to us for over 2 years about a virus that's non-existent and doesn't do a damn thing to hurt us anyway, for 2 years, they've had you doing absolutely absurd things. And people believed it. Now these same chameleons, these same lying bastards, are telling you that there's a war against a sovereign nation by these monstrous Russians just trying to take somebody's land away from them. Are you kidding me? Are our people that ignorant of world history and geography to where they do not understand anything at all? First of all, the Ukraine is not a sovereign nation. Never has been. It's a territory. It was given the name Ukraine, which in that language, the Slavic language, just means a border area. The lands that make up this thing called Ukraine today, not that many years ago, belonged to other nations. The Donetsk and Luhansk areas of eastern Ukraine area belong to Russia. That's why the people there speak Russian. That's why they ethnically are white Russians. A portion of this area called Ukraine belonged to Poland. Another portion belonged to other European nations. So the whole idea that this is a sovereign nation being attacked by a bully is ludicrous. Not to mention the fact that those nations over there that border it, particularly Russia, know what's been going on in this area called the Ukraine. ever since the United States, which is Zionist-controlled, took the taxpayers' money and went over there and bribed their way into Ukraine and overthrew their democratically elected president and installed a puppet by the name of Zelensky, who is a complete aberration of nature, probably a pedophile, but he's certainly a pornographic comedian, a Jew, and most of the regime under Zelensky is Jewish, and many of them don't even come from the Ukraine area. And yet they were put in charge so that the Jews of the United States could use that area to launder money, to do sex slave trafficking, to do organ harvesting and trafficking, etc. Drug trafficking, everything. Everything imaginable. And on top of it, putting in weapons systems and allowing NATO, including the United States, to have operations in that area right next to the Russian border. Now, whether the Russians and Putin are actually good guys or not, that remains to be seen. But you have to remember, our father can use pagans, like he did Nebuchadnezzar and Pharaoh. So it doesn't matter if Putin is 100% legitimate or not. Could he be used and the Russian people be used by our father to accomplish his will? Most certainly can. Why not? As I've told family members who seem to be trapped into this believing the media, the same media that's lied to us about every single significant event that's happened in my lifetime. This same media is telling you that Russia is the problem. Shouldn't that tell you something? And that Ukraine is this benevolent democracy? Are you shitting me? And that this Zelensky guy is a hero? He's a despot. He's an immoral piece of shit. How in the hell does anybody think the Ukraine is the good guys under Zelensky? How do you do that? And as I've told people, I don't know for sure. I don't sit in the Kremlin. I don't listen to Putin and his military commanders. I don't know what's up their sleeve. But I do know that the Ukraine is being led by a monster. And that they are literally a crime organization, much like the mafia. And I'm talking about the mafia, meaning the Jewish mafia. The Red Terror, as Robert Friedman says in his book, Red Mafia, how the Russian mob came to the United States. And as he says in the book, and he's a Jewish individual, by the way, Robert Friedman, when people call it the Russian mob, that's a euphemism for the Jewish mob out of the Ukraine. Okay? They did that many years ago. Started moving their operations into America. That's why America today is operated like a crime organization. And that includes federal and state government. The Russian mob, otherwise known as the Jewish mob, the Red Mob, picked up their operations out of the Ukraine and moved it over to Brighton Beach, New York, and then on to Miami, Florida. And from there, God only knows where their headquarters are. That's why violence amongst the mobsters went skyrocketing, as Robert Friedman says so well in his book. The Jewish mob makes the Italian mob look like choir boys. They are violent, bloodthirsty animals. And again, these are the words of Robert Friedman, a fellow Jew, who, by the way, was killed mysteriously after publishing this book. And he says in the book that he was warned by the Jewish mob that he should not put the book out there, telling how they came here and bought their way into America using their dirty money. And they bought their way into government. Not that there weren't already Jews operating and controlling our government, but they went on a rampage. And that is also why there's been election rigging for a long, long time. Because, again, the mob was operating here, the Jewish mob. And that's when you start reading about politicians and certain political figures dying mysteriously, whether it be by supposedly being held up and then gunned down, suicided or whatever. All those things became commonplace because that is the modus operandi of the Jewish mob. As Mr. Friedman points out in the book, the Italian mob basically only executed people within their own ranks. People that turned on them, etc., or tried to steal from them, or tried to harm another member. They didn't go into the general public, and they sure as hell didn't make family members suffer for what their husbands or aunts and uncles did. Whereas the Jewish mob, they believe that an entire family needs to be wiped out if somebody does them wrong. Again, bloodthirsty. Go read the book, Red Mafia, only it's spelled with a Y. M-A-F-I-Y-A, as in Yiddish. Mafia, Yiddish. Jewish. Again, not my words. Just reciting what the author says, and the empirical evidence on our world today supports, does it not? So we are approaching rapidly the end of this earth age. And there is great tribulation in the world, as Ella and her research has pointed out. Lots of things being revealed to members of our identity family at this point in time. Because it is the end of the age. It is the time of the Great Awakening. It is the time of men on this earth choosing to be either part of the children of light or the children of darkness. Now, the prophecies within the Dead Sea Scrolls and others say that in this great conflict, it is the children of light that will be victorious. Even the prophets within Scripture talk about a great war going on this plane called Earth between these two opposing forces. They cannot coexist on this earth. You know that, right? They can't coexist. So, one or the other. You will either be in the camp of the righteous or you will be in the camp of the unrighteous, the goats. There is no fence any longer to sit on. You are aware of that, I hope. It's gone. You can't sit this one out, ladies and gentlemen. You must pick a side, as Messiah said when he was on this earth. And George Bush Sr. mocked our Savior, our Heavenly Father, when he said, "You're either for me or against me." He was mocking the living God. The Bush family's a piece of shit. And yet our people walked around like they were some great presidents, the both of them, the elder and the younger, they're both pieces of shit. How many, you know, it reminds me of Caldwell Taylor's quote. Let me see if I can find it, because I want to make sure I get it right. So give me just a second. Because it says exactly what we're living in. Here it is right here. Taylor Caldwell, a lady who wrote quite a few books, and this particular book is The Captains and the Kings that she produced in 1974. Mankind adores its betrayers and murders its saviors. Now let me repeat that. Taylor Caldwell, The Captains and the Kings. Mankind, you and me, ladies and gentlemen, mankind adores its betrayers and murders its saviors. How true is that quote? By the way, Miss Taylor Caldwell wrote almost as if she was a prophetess. Everything I've read of her material, she was amazing. Amazing. Another quote from another book, Dear and Glorious Physician, is this quote: no man is more abhorred than a man who is different from his neighbors. They, the neighbors, feel violated and threatened if one dares to be as they are not. In other words, if you dare to not put on a diaper because you know it's a lie, they feel violated and threatened. We believe the lie. Why don't you? We put the poison in our arms. Why didn't you? We are weak and docile, and we are subservient. Why aren't you? We watch our televisions faithfully, day in and day out. Why don't you? Do you see the difference, folks? Now that I'm on to Taylor, let me read a couple more here, because I think you're going to agree. She is amazing. This is in a book that she wrote called The Devil's Advocate. On the day when you again allow abominable men to confiscate your freedom, your money, your lives, your private property, your manhood, and your sacred honor, in the name of security or national emergency, you will die, and never again shall you be free. If plotters again destroy your republic, they will do it by your greedy and ignorant assent, by your disregard of your neighbor's rights, by your apathy and your stupidity. We were brought to the brink of universal death and darkness because we had become that most contemptible of people, an angerless one, meaning no passion, no desire for the truth, no desire for peace and justice in this world. Keep alive and vivid all your righteous anger against traitors, against those who would abrogate your constitution, against those who would lead you to wars with false slogans and cunning appeals to your patriotism. Does that sound like today? Again, Taylor Caldwell, The Devil's Advocate. It's amazing, the writings of people like this, on how prophetic it really is. And we're not going to have enough time to go into it in great detail today, but Ella has put out a work on the meaning of the word salvation, and I'm going to read a little bit, because she sent... And by the way, if you care about calendars and whatever, there's a website called worldslastchance.com. And as far as I know, they are probably the most accurate. Not perfect. Do I agree with everything? No, not 100%. But their website has a lot of good information, and especially about the calendar. They have a solar loony system that they put up, which means combination of moon cycles and solar cycles. But you might want to check them out. But anyway, Ella sent this article by Keith Giles, G-I-L-E-S, Giles. And it says, Jesus saves, and in parentheses, from what? And I'm going to read down through this a little bit because this guy, and he wrote this exactly 1 year ago, sounds like he's been listening to By Yahweh's Design. And let me just read down through part of it here. After reading and rereading the New Testament, I am now fully convinced that our view of salvation is not what the authors of the Gospels or the Epistles had in mind when they used this term. As I've mentioned in a previous article, the phrase, quote, "He saved others, but he cannot save himself," was spoken about Jesus as he was hanging on the cross. But those Pharisees, Jews, could not have meant that Yeshua helped others get to heaven, but he cannot help himself get to heaven. That would be ridiculous. Instead, the obvious meaning of "he saved others" is about a very different type of salvation, a very practical form that involves escaping death or suffering in this life, not the next one. Hallelujah! Have we not talked about the Greek word soter, to save? Soter. And in the Greek lexicon, meaning the Greek dictionary of that period of time, that Greek word was used in cases of salvation from physical harm here on earth. Had nothing to do with what the church teaches today. Nothing at all. And how did Yeshua mean for us to be saved by the words in the Old and New Testament writers? He meant that if you listen to what these men are telling you, you will be saved. What, saved from what? How about saved from the abuse of the Jew? How about saved from the destruction of your food supply, the destruction of your air, the destruction of your water, the destruction of your churches, the destruction of your education system, the destruction of your medical system, the destruction of your governments? Do you think that might be what he was talking about? That as we have turned our back on our Father and his holy writ, that we have been put into economic bondage, much as our ancestors were to the Egyptians in the days of the Old Testament, Israelites? You're in economic bondage to these people today. Who controls the world economic system? The Antichrist Jew. The people you hold up as God's chosen. You worship the devil. Diablos, adversary. Who are the adversaries of everything good and right in this world? The Jews. Their very religion is Antichrist. And yet you don't see it. It's utterly amazing. So when the scriptures talk about salvation, they're saying, if you listen to me, if you do as I command, you can have a protection against them. Well, how can that be, Dan? Well, first of all, it says to guard what goes in your eyes and ears. So would you listen to these damnable Jews like, what's his name? Stein. What a piece of shit. All right? Garbage on the radio. Garbage. Every one of these misfits, these Jewish misfits, is talked about as if they're some kind of celebrity when they lambast and denigrate the Christian ethic and our values, our Anglo-Saxon values that go back for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And yet we hold them up as celebrities and pay them exorbitant amounts of money for their pieces of garbage they call art or books or movies, etc. So could we be saved from the works of the Jews? Yeah. Because our founding fathers told us to have gold and silver-backed money, and the Jews convinced us to be taken off of that system, yet the Constitution still says that the government must provide a money system based on precious metals. Why? Because it controls inflation. The government can't spend more than it takes in. Again, we didn't listen, did we? If it says that you're to trust your body's immune system, the one that God gave us, you wouldn't fall for what the medical mafia is trying to do to you, would you? If you listen to the food laws, you would be healthier, but you're eating the garbage cleaners like lobster, clam, shrimp, pigs. These are scavengers. They are garbage men in the animal kingdom. And yet you eat them as if they're food. Because this world tells you that you can. And they put really nice spices and butter and all kind of things on this poison. And you consume it. And you think you're doing okay. Well, Dan, I like my bacon. Okay, well then eat it. I hope you eat a pound of it a day. Because the sooner you leave this earth, the cleaner it gets. The sooner your kind depart from this world, then the rest of us can clean it up and bring it back into order according to what our Father expects. So do I pray for people to repent? No, I don't. Not at this point. Those days are over. We're near the end now. I'm pretty much convinced that the ones that are going to repent have already repented. The rest of these people are just cannon fodder. Sorry to say that. I'm going to lose a lot of friends and some of my own family. But you make your bed and you got to lay in it. You make your choices. You have to take responsibility for the choices. You choose to go the way of the world, then you are going to die. The first death and possibly the second. And that doesn't mean going to hell. Again, Ella's done some great work on that. Sheol in the scripture is the grave. Gehenna in the Greek was a pit where they dumped refuge. There is nothing in scripture in the original languages that represents what you conceive, quote, hell to be. Okay? Doesn't even make common sense if you really think about it. But does he throw us figuratively into a trash heap? Yeah, there's lots of scripture that says, if you're not found to be worthy, you deserve to be put out where? Oh, with the terrors. Bound up and burned, destroyed, gotten rid of. You're not worth it. That makes sense, doesn't it? But burning in hell for eternity? No, that doesn't make sense. Doesn't make any sense at all. And none of the analogies would make sense. But it's a good way to make you afraid. That you live in fear. That you'll put money in the plate. That you'll show up at that building called a church every week. Especially when the Catholic Church first got started. It was a great way to get the masses and get them under control. Organized church, organized religion is no different than organized centralized government. And all of them are under the tight control of the Jewish world banking system. It's an economic bondage, enslavement that we live under today. But we're coming close to the end. Again, it's either they're going to win or we are going to win. But one side will come out victorious. Only one. They cannot coexist. As you can see the turmoil in the world today, as this whole fake pandemic has proven, we have two groups of people on this earth. One that can see and rationally think and can discern the times and discern what's going on. The other side is completely in fear. Completely bought into the lies and deception, either because they are completely ignorant and stupid, or they're completely cowardly. They don't want to challenge the, quote, authorities. Oh my! You can't challenge science. You can't challenge the authorities, Dan. Really? Says who? What do you mean I can't challenge them? I thought they worked for me. And collectively for you and I as we the people. I thought they were our public servants. But you're telling me they're our masters? And when they tell us to do immoral things and impractical things that we must obey them? Where does it say that? Well, Dan, you go to Romans 13. Yeah, I've read Romans 13. Guess what? That's not what it says. It says that I am give my obedience to godly authorities. Last time I checked, godly authorities wouldn't tell me that it's okay to murder a baby. Last time I checked, godly authorities wouldn't tell me to allow an enemy to creep in and take over my country and turn us into a Judaized piece of shit on this earth. We've become just like them now. We love gold and money. We do what we do to get gold and money. We will sell out our families. We will sell our own souls. We will do all kind of monstrous things as long as I get gold and money. After all, that's the sign of success, is it not, Daniel? Get with the real times, Daniel. Get with the modern age. It's the money that matters. Not whether it's morally right, not that it's rational thinking, not that it's good for the population or healthy. No, that has nothing to do with it, Daniel. Come on. If the Jew gives you electronic shekels for what they want you to do, that's all that matters, right? Can't you just see people going along with it? And that's what's going through their minds. Well, Dan, I have to have my job. Really? Why? Well, you know, I've got a car payment. You can't live without a car? I mean, really? You're telling me you can't live without a car or a new car, maybe? Maybe you got to get a used car. Maybe you need to get a scooter. Or a golf cart. I don't know. Are you telling me you can't figure out how to survive in this world without a car? I've got a neighbor that sold his car 3 years ago, and he's doing just quite well. I give him rides sometimes, or he uses Uber, or he gets on his bicycle and rides. Gets exercise and fresh air and sunshine. Imagine that. You're telling me you can't do it? Well, no, Dan, my children are in college. God forbid. You're going to go along with the New World Order to keep your child in these hellish organizations called universities and colleges where they're taught Judaized communism? Well, I got to pay for the private school because the public school system sucks. Well, yeah, we all know that. What about homeschooling? What about doing it the way the Bible talked about, where mom and dad taught their children in the way that they went? Meaning, in your day-to-day activities. Much as my father taught me much wisdom as we were on the farm, working in the fields, or working on the tractor, or baling hay, or feeding the cows. Many little nuggets of wisdom that I still remember to this day, given to me by my father, just telling me something in one or two sentences that was profound. Many times I found out later as I studied Scripture that what he was telling me was based on Scripture. I didn't even know that. I thought my father was just a very smart man, and he was a smart man. But many of these little nuggets of wisdom had come from his reading of Scripture. He just put it into his own words. You see what I mean? You don't have to go to institutions to get to learn. In fact, some of the smartest people on earth are those who learned it on their own. Self-taught, that's called. Ellis says in a note here, also the trade schools or vocational school. Yeah. You don't need to go there. Go learn a trade. Trade schools or vocational schools. Go learn how to, quote, do something. You don't need 12 to 16 to 20 years of college and institutional training to know how to do something. You don't. Now, the enemy wants you to believe that because now they've got 12 to 20 years to indoctrinate you into the communist philosophy. Or to dumb you down with their meaningless and total bullshit about New Age and this whole transgender thing. Okay? The point of it is there's simple solutions to everything, and as we walk in our Father's way, that's the way to come out of this system. We talked about Buckminster Fuller, and I want to get that quote for you here too so I get it exactly right. Because again, this is exactly where we're at and where we need to be in this day and age. So Richard Buckminster Fuller, F-U-L-L-E-R, Richard Buckminster Fuller. A lot of times he's just referred to as Buckminster Fuller. You never change things by fighting the existing reality. Note what he said. You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. We're near the end of the age, ladies and gentlemen. Our Father told us to come out of this Babylonian hell. Depart from her, my people, that you do not suffer her plagues. What are the plagues? Race mixing, abominations, sexual immorality, drunkenness, drug overdoses, mind-numbing propaganda, all of the sick and perverse things of this world. Come out of her, my people. Build a new model. Build a model that represents our Father upon this earth. We've often talked about the Ark Project that I have referred to, where we build communities upon the land and go back to doing things the way our Father intended, much as the Amish have done. If we got together as a group and we had some resources, we could do that. But Yahweh's people don't seem to be quite to that point yet. A lot of Yahweh's people seem to think that we can fix this system. I hate to tell you this, but you're not going to fix it. It's broke beyond repair. The enemy has crept in and completely destroyed what the Founding Fathers set up. The only republic for the past 240 some years that honored property rights and individual rights the way we did. We did. We don't do it today, but we did. All right? Honoring the right to be armed, etc., to defend yourself. Ella says here, women used to make their own clothes. We used to do a lot of things ourselves, and we need to get back to that. A simplified life, a minimalistic life, and learning how to do things ourselves. The good news is I've been to many Renaissance fairs where I have witnessed the people that still know how to do things the old-fashioned way. There's whole groups of people that get together on a regular basis to exchange ideas on how to tan hides and make leather clothing, how to weave, how to take wool or cotton from the field and weave it into thread and then make garments from that. It's not lost art. There's people that are still doing it that way. Okay? And as Ella has pointed out here, walk barefoot in the ground, in the soil. Get grounded to the earth again. You put these rubber-soled shoes on, you're insulating it. Everybody that's ever worked with electricity, you know what I'm talking about. Rubber is an insulator. We are electrical beings. The earth is the area that our Father gave us to live upon and to connect with. We're all living creatures on this living, terraformed plane called Earth, the garden. And we're not touching that earth as we did in eons past. Get out there and walk around in your bare feet in the dirt once in a while. Put natural fabrics on your body, as Scripture talks about. Not artificial, not polyester, none of this, garbage, put cotton or wool or hemp. These are natural materials. They breathe. They do not pollute. They do not interfere with the electrical signals in your body as these artificial fabrics do. In fact, everything artificial, whether it's artificial sweetener, artificial colorings, artificial flavors, artificial fabric, artificial material, if it's artificial, it's ungodly. If you think about it. For thousands of years, we lived in a world that was created with natural materials. Natural, not artificial. And now our world is almost consumed by artificial. In fact, many of your mainstream institutions, whether it's government, finance, medicine, or even the church, is artificial. It's a form of godliness that has no power within it. It's just people mimicking the lips, moving their lips in service to the Father, but their heart is far from Him. That's what He said. You pay homage to Me, but your hearts are far from Me. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we give You the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank You for this time to share with our brothers and sisters. We thank You for this new platform. We use it wisely to get both entertainment in the sense of edifying words and music, to help soothe the wound of our people. Many of our people are wounded emotionally and sometimes physically and psychologically. Your words, Your truths, Your wisdom will edify those things. They put like a salve or a balm over them to allow healing to happen. We pray that we are in some part to play in that area as we come to our brothers and sisters. And many of us have hearts that are heavy with the amount of ungodliness in this world today. Help us to be better soldiers, Father, for You. Help us to be better witnesses to our brothers and sisters around us. Help us to seek Your ways and Your will for our lives and not our own. We ask that You'd walk with us always, Father Yahweh. Lift us up. Guide us and protect us from our enemies as we work to the salvation that can come only from You, to bring this world back into alignment with You and to bring our people back under Your control rather than man's law. These are things that must happen, and with You as our guide and our King and our leader, we can accomplish that. We ask all these things in the name of Yahweh, our King and our Savior. Hallelujah.
Gordon Call was right when he made his famous stand. Heaven knows there was a man who fought the righteous fight till the wrong arm of the law gunned him down in Arkansas. He would not pay one dime of tribute to the IRS. And for his disobedience, they planned his fiery death. And now all is fair in love and war. Christian blood has been shed before. And though these tents of flesh may fail, the gates of hell shall never prevail. Because He gave His life for me, I shall not fear adversity. And we shall all meet at heaven's door, 'cause all is fair in love and war. Five forty-five p.m. on a North Dakota road, February 83, that's when the war began.
where two federal marshals died for the sake of tyranny. They both would underestimate the courage of one man who only shot in self-defense to save his promised land. Because all is fair in love and war, Christian blood has been shed before. And though these tents of flesh may fail, the gates of hell shall never prevail. Because he gave his life for me, I shall not fear adversity. And we shall all meet at heaven's door, 'cause all is fair in love and war. When all was said and done, and the verdict's handed down, someone had to take the fall, and it was Gordon's son, who was wounded in the fray. Please won't you pray for your recall, who now must waste his life away inside some stinking jail. Please pray the Lord might set him free, through faith we shall prevail. They say all is fair in love and war, Christian blood has been shed before. And though these tents of flesh may fail, the gates of hell shall never prevail. Because he gave his life for me, I shall not fear adversity. And we shall all meet at heaven's door, 'cause all is fair in love and war.
Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our God, Yahweh is one, holy is his name.
Shema It's not over till our adversary's down for the count. It's not over till the last bell rings. It's not over till the crowd stands up to scream and shout. Until the big old friendly fat lady sings. And as far as I know, we got a ways yet to go. So we might as well hang tough till the end. Cause it's not over, girl, until we win. No, it's not over, girl, until we win.
Whenever I stop and think about the many times we faced impossible odds, when the hopelessness and despair felt so intense that we didn't think we could hold out any longer, yet time and again we were given the grace to overcome those odds and the courage to keep fighting the fight. What it proves to me is we've got angels watching over us, girl. So if we can just keep our hope alive for a little bit longer and keep on believing in the promise that the truth will one day set us free, then there shall be a glorious future awaiting us. For I've read the end of the story, and it's not over until we win.
Yeah, now there's still time for me and you. Oh, there's still love to see us through. Yeah, there's still miles of road we've yet to travel, and so much we still can do. So won't you choose now to lose these blues and remember this, my friend, that it's not over, girl, until we win. No, it's not over till our adversary's down for the count. It's not over till the last bell rings. It's not over till the crowd stands up to scream and shout. Until the big old smiling fat lady sings. And as far as I know, we got a ways yet to go. So we might as well hang tough till the end. It's not over, girl, until we win. No, it's not over, girl, until we win. It's not over, girl, until we win. It's not over, girl, until we win. It's not over, child, until we win. It's not over.
The song you are about to hear is true. Though some of the events described have not occurred in the life of the author, they have occurred in the lives of thousands of other revenue-oppressed Americans. The author disclaims any responsibility or liability for any loss incurred as a consequence of the use and the application of any of the following information, which is not provided for the purpose of rendering any legal advice or professional service. In other words, this song is totally frivolous and without merit.
Not. Last April, right around tax time, along with my 1040 form, I sent the IRS a message to tell them they was wrong. And I told them I was sick and tired of playing their cheating game. And as for all my honest, hard-earned wages, to them they never had no claim. Because I never worked in Puerto Rico, nor lived in Washington, D.C., I wasn't under their jurisdiction, and there was nothing they could do to me. And since I've never ever been an employee of the federal government, I ain't liable for, no subject to, no, I've never owed you one red cent. But let me tell you, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. They'll trample down your rights as they break inside your home. They'll terrorize your sweet bride as they put the hard lean on. Yes, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. Now it didn't take them very long before they garnished all my hard-earned pay. Then they repossessed my pickup truck and had it towed away. And then they up and seized my bank accounts as they auctioned off my family farm.
And to keep me from proving my innocence, well, they shackled me in iron. Now let me tell you, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. They'll trample down your rights as they break inside your home. They'll terrorize your sweet bride as they put the hard lean on. Yes, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. Now the truth about the IRS code is that it's fraudulently misapplied, because the legal definition of taxpayer is exclusively derived. So all you agents of the evil IRS are in reality a bunch of thieves who are working for the foreign bankers to bring America to her knees. So listen up, you international banksters, and all you traitorous congressmen, and all you low-down lying, thieving, cheating lawyers, better leave the country while you can. Cause when the people find out the truth about how the income tax is based on fraud, they're gonna rise up all across this nation. They're gonna rout you vipers out, by God. To use the famous words of Andy Jackson, we're gonna rout you vipers out, by God. And then it's gonna be dangerous, cause we're right and the government is wrong. We'll trample down their rights as we break inside their homes. We'll terrorize their sweet brides as we put the hard lean on. Yes, we're dangerous, cause we're right and the government is wrong. Yes, we're dangerous, cause we're right and the government is wrong.
With explicit reservation of all rights without prejudice per UCC 1-207.